Okay, and so to gardening and our monthly look at what's happening in the world of open the back door and find the garden or maybe the allotment. Jean Griffin, good morning.
Good morning, Tony. It's really nice on this beautiful sunny day to talk gardening. Why not?
It's looking pretty good, isn't it, really? And I think things are going to get warmer from here on in. A shortage of rain does cause a little bit of a problem. Is it one of those things that is usual around the time of May?
Not usually. We don't usually get this much of I won't say drought because it isn't a drought. We did have some rain here I'm just south of Gatwick Airport, so I'm still in Sussex. But we did get an overnight shower, which wasn't too bad. Didn't go in very far, but that's fine. One of my things, though, Tony, is that if you give a plant water all the time, the roots don't settle in and actually search for water. So as long as you water in that plant when you're putting it in, then it should, in actual fact, last it. And then, but people tend to water every single day.
Is that not a good idea?
Not necessary at all, because, as I say, the plant then doesn't actually sort of say, well, I'm going to put the roots out. I've got plenty here. I don't really mind. So it stays static. And that's what you don't want. You want those roots to be out and running and collecting water and nutrients from all over the soil.
I've learned something there because I thought that the point was to keep your plants well watered. But you just explained something that says, don't water your plants so often because the roots don't spread and it doesn't become so established, which probably explains where I've been going wrong all these years.
Well, whilst we're still on the sort of subject of watering, with pot plants, the majority of people, because people like their houses to look pretty and everything else, and I'm looking at my orchids that are on the windowsill here, but I've got them in plastic pots, which are clear plastic, which is fine, but the majority of people put all their pot plants into a ceramic container, right? Which, a pretty pot, looks really nice on the windowsill. Mm-hmm. How many people take that plant out, put it on the draining board and water it there? They don't. They water it into the ceramic pot. Then the water builds up in the bottom of the ceramic pot, the roots die and the plant dies.
Right. So, in other words, if you've got a plant in a nice ceramic pot within a ceramic pot, take the thing out of the ceramic pot, stick it on the side, and water it first. Would that be right?
That's right.
Absolutely. I'm getting an education.
It's the same as you. I mean, I don't know how many people have baths these days, but I mean, if you stay in the bath too long, your feet get wrinkly, don't they?
Well, last time I've used the bath, you get a bit prune-like, don't you?
Exactly. Oh, well, never mind. So, have a shower. Save water.
Absolutely. Well, that's what they said, but even now we're being told to sort of cut that back still further because of impending water shortages. Who knows? But who knows whether that's going to be the case? Nobody can look that far into the future and say we're for a really dry summer. But be interesting to say. So one way of saving water is water the plants less, let the roots grow, let the plants get established, and take those plants that are in those fancy pots out of the fancy pot, stick them on the side, water them there, and let them catch a few rays, I would suppose, and soak up some of the water that they need. And then, later on that day,
put them back in the ceramic pot,
and they'll look beautiful again, won't they?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what else do we do when we step outside into the garden in May? What should we, A, find, or B, what should we be doing to make it look fine for May?
Well, it's interesting, actually, because all the thing at the moment is no-mow May.
Oh, yeah. You love that, wouldn't you? Because you don't like grass.
I don't like grass. It's not that. It's the fact that everybody is saying, put the mower away this May, because modern thinking has said some of the weeds as lawn plants are a flowering boon for wildlife. And the RHS are really well into this at the moment. So you get plants which grow in shorter grass and then plants which grow in longer grass. And so if you it saves on fuel as well, doesn't it, if you've got a petrol mower?
Yeah, I suppose it does.
But Even reducing the cutting to once a month will help instead of a weekly or a... Some people do it absolutely every other day. I've never been more amazed in my life, but there you go. That's it. Leaving the grass long allows the plants there time to develop and flower.
Right, so you're not really talking. Yeah, I mean, that's one for people who aren't really lawn purists, because the lawn purist, I mean, I saw somebody out the other day I saw somebody cutting the edge of their grass with scissors.
Oh, you're joking.
No, I'm not. I actually saw this walking the dog, and there's this chap out who's cutting the sides of the grass onto the pavement or onto his pathway with scissors. Just to get, I mean, it looks pristine and all the rest of it, and there wasn't a garden weed in sight or a wild plant in sight there. But I know, of course, that with all the thing about the bugs, there was a big piece yesterday about the number of bugs that are disappearing from around the place at the moment, which is very bad news for the environment generally, because we rely on these bugs for the ecosystem. So if you're being a lawn purist, you've really got to allow... I mean, I know somebody that actually does this. They cut their lawn, keep it beautiful, but leaves a couple of feet at the bottom end of it to grow wild.
And that would be really good. And, you know, you can grow some wildflowers even in a bucket or in, an old washing up bowl, as long as you put water, holes for the water to come out underneath. There are all sorts of ways that you can get wildflowers into your garden, not just necessarily, posh ones like orchids and things like that, but ordinary daisies and dandelions, The only trouble is with dandelions, of course, the clocks actually disappear into everybody else's garden, which is a bit of a pain. But there we are. You live with it.
I remember the buttercups as a kid and sticking it under your chin to see if you liked butter.
Exactly.
That was all those sorts of things. But, I mean, it seems to be disappearing an awful lot of that stuff. But the one thing, when we're talking about lawns, and, of course, we're into lawn cutting season, is that lots of people actually store their... their lawn cuts for the start of a compost.
Yes, and that's absolutely fine. You've got no problem with that at all, except never ever put it all in one big foul sweep, so that you've got this great clump of grass clippings in there. You need to spread them out, and preferably in a compost heap, layer them with some other form of material, like woody material or even kitchen waste, actually. Even if you're not using, you don't put chicken bones in and things like that, but ordinary, I've got a little box on at the side of my sink. And that actually, I put the clippings of potatoes and bits of leaves of potatoes, ends of beans, that sort of thing. It all goes in there and it all goes into my compost heap.
Do you just keep it as an open heap, or do you keep it in an enclosed container? Because if you're putting old food in there, surely that would probably attract one or two of the less desirable things that you actually want in your garden.
Yeah, but I don't put food in. I just put green material in. Tomatoes, potatoes, any carrot tops, anything like that. I don't put food in. There is a thing that you can buy called the it's called a something Joanna. And that actually melts down all your kitchen waste, and that is rat proof, apparently.
Really?
I haven't got one.
Get a good container. I think you can buy compost bins these days, can't you?
Easy. Mine are those Dalek type ones, Tony. And the only thing to remember, and I've done it at the moment, is take the lid off if it's going to rain, because the Dalek ones get very, very dry inside because they have no source of water. And so either water it, and the other thing is to stick a fork in there every now and again and just wiggle the fork around to make sure that you aerate the compost. Because if you've got smelly compost, you've got bad bacteria in there, and you don't want that.
So you've got to allow some rain to get to it to keep it moistured, and let some air get to it to, so that it has a sweeter fragrance than it otherwise would have.
Exactly.
And
it
keeps fresher. And I'm guessing as you head towards autumn, when the leaves fall off the trees, you add those as well.
You do. excuse me. A lot of people are saying put oak leaves particularly into black plastic bags. But beware of that because they don't break down quite so easily.
Yeah. Okay, well, good luck to anyone who's going to start a compost heap. And let's hope and pray that it works for you. Now, to the other important thing that's happening, I do believe it's this month, is the Chelsea Flower Show.
Absolutely. I shall be going up there on the Sunday before it opens, which I'm very lucky, really, to be quite honest, and have a sort of a preview. So, we'll be up there, and I shall be able to report back to you next month as to the, you know, the sort of, I think, in plants of the month.
Yeah, I've got to ask this question because I see the Chelsea Flower Show and bits of it on TV. Lots of other people do. Is there a relevance and a connection between the Chelsea Flower Show and what most people have in their gardens rather than the rather large-scale grand gardens? Is there any connection?
I think what you do when you go to Chelsea is that you take ideas back which you can utilise for your garden. There's no point in saying, oh, I love that garden, I want it in mine. Because the majority of people could not afford it in a month of Sundays. They couldn't afford it. And so whilst they're really lovely, and I'm not knocking Chelsea or Hampton Court, but they perhaps put forward not an untrue picture, but perhaps an unrealistic picture.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Well, it's picture perfection, isn't it? It's everything. Everything has its place, and everything in its place, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it does seem. I mean, most gardens have got little problems. We were just talking just now about lawns and perhaps allowing for a metre space or so on the lawn to grow wild. I mean, that's completely against the principles of the Chelsea Flower Show, isn't it?
Yes and no, in a way, because more and more people are actually exhibiting at Chelsea with wildflower gardens.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely, because what they're trying to do is to actually be a little bit on both sides, I think. Mm-hmm. They're trying to keep in with everybody, you know, who's saying you mustn't mow too low and all this sort of thing. But there are plenty of places where, you know, people are saying you can do both. I mean, I can do both in my garden. You must come around sometime and have a look.
Must.
But, you know, definitely, Chelsea is definitely going around rather than the absolute things which are in dead straight lines and in pots, to the more casual approach, I think.
Now, you mentioned the wild flower gardens there, and we were talking about the number of bugs or the lack of bugs at the moment. It's dropped by about 60%, I do believe. I mean, that is eventually going to make a vast difference to what we can actually grow in our gardens, isn't it?
Oh, most positively. But, you know, it's never too late just to sort of sow a couple of seeds, really, you know, just along in between everything. Something, and what you need to look for is open flowers rather than the double ones, because the flat flowers, like a daisy, for instance, are perfect for bees to go in and pollinate. With the big things like those big blousy, and I love them, but big blousy dahlias, for instance, the bees find that much more difficult to get into, whereas the flat-faced ones, which are single flowers, like the Bishop of Llandaff, Bishop of York, they're just as beautiful, but much easier for the insects to actually feed from.
Yeah. So, I mean, do they have sections of this at the Chelsea Flower Show to actually sort of help people along? Because it's a whole big ecosystem that I'm sure most of us don't really understand that well. I mean, you've just explained about daisies being good for bumblebees and other plants not. I mean, is all this sort of thing explained, say, which basically would open up something like the Chelsea Flower Show to a bit more accessibility?
I think so. There's an awful lot of people there. And, you know, the exhibitors are more than happy to talk plants with you. Mm-hmm. And to say, you know, in the RHS magazine this week, there's a big picture, and I've got some in my garden, and it says, get the meadow look with Camassia. And Camassia are very tall growing flowers in the lily family, bright, bright blue. And they grow alongside wildflowers and give that little bit of structure, you know, to a wildflower thing. So it's never bad to put things in, you know, which are going to look good alongside poppies and everything else.
Okay. I think we're just about there, Jean, this morning. When is the Chelsea Flower Show? I know you said you were going. When is it this month?
I shall be going up on the 21st. So it's the week after that, about the 26th, something like that.
Okay.
Let me tell you, Tony, all tickets are sold out.
Oh, right. Well, so, that's flummoxed that one then, hasn't it, really?
For most days, anyway. I think you can, because they time it now.
Yeah.
But, it's nearly all sold out. So it's, you know, that's why I like going on the Sunday.
Yeah.
Because I can walk around without the crush.
It's the peace and quiet thing, you see. That's what it is.
Jean, well, it's not peace and quiet. You have to avoid the trucks and forklifts and BBC cameras and things like that.
Yeah, good old Bean. Okay. They're going to be there. Jean, it's been lovely to catch up with you this morning. So hopefully we'll get you back at the very early part of June to report on the Chelsea Flower Show and, of course, update us on what's happening in the garden for June. But for now, Jean Griffin, thank you for talking to us.
A pleasure.